And if you got my email, I wasn't satisfied with stopping in verse 40. We're going to have to go a little farther. But one quick review, because we were talking about the last day. You know, so I'm going to go in text mode here. T. L. D. The last day. We discussed last time that in this chapter of John 6 that Jesus' audience is the house of Israel. So, I'm just going to read 35 through 40 again. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you have not seen, that you also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose none, but should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, Jesus is telling these Jews that he came down from heaven. You know, if we, as we read previously, because they brought up the manna that Moses experienced. So, Jesus is trying to get them to see that he came down from heaven. And it is, and that he came down to do the will of the Father. And Jesus expounds what the Father's will is. He says, all that the Father gave Jesus will come to him. All that the Father gave Jesus will come to him, and that he will raise them up on the last day. So, is there more than one group of alls? And is there more than one last day? So the deal is if Jesus is saying all, I mean, think about that. All that the Father gave me. That is Jesus saying all that I have come to redeem. Everybody I've come to redeem will be raised up on the last day. And I'm just saying that in dispensational theology, what they call the rapture, this is a resurrection. When you hear anybody talk about the rapture, that is a resurrection. So now, if Jesus said, all will be resurrected on the last day, is this everybody who's going to be redeemed? And is this the last day according to dispensational theology? I'm just trying to bring up the point that they say there is more redemption going on out here. So all doesn't mean all then. So I'm just saying that in John 6, this all and this last day is going to be somewhere out here, but it's not going to be separate events. Yeah, Ben. Well, not our purpose in this class to talk about eschatology. Even though dispensational theology, we're talking about two groups of people, and eventually that does fall into eschatology. You and I can have a conversation about that, but I'm not prepared to start going off into an eschatology view out of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Let me rephrase it. I am totally ready to talk about that, but I ain't going to talk about it right now in our class. All right. Really? Okay. Yeah, but then you go to 1 Corinthians 15, and it says that in a twinkling of an eye we'll all be changed. So whether you're in heaven as your soul waiting for the resurrection, or you remain here on this earth alive at the resurrection, the picture is that the dead will rise first and receive their glorified body with the Lord in the air. And then those who remain and are still alive, they too will leave their bodies, meet the Lord in the air, and receive their glorified body. You know, so there are two groups, but I'm just suggesting that those two groups meet at the same place, with the Lord in the air. So, and we can pull that out later and wrestle. All right. So, what are the conditions? Oh, I didn't tell you this. All that the Father gives the Son will come. So when you look up that word in the Greek, it means to be present. All that the Father gives the Son will be present. So I wrote this question down. What are the conditions to be present? To be present, to be a part of this all group, and to be present at the last day. It's God. If you look in these verses, 5 through 40, it says, those who come, those who see, and those who believe. I mean, that's just a really brief summary of the gospel. When people come to the Lord or come to Jesus, they're coming to them because they now see him. And now that they've come and seen him, they believe. So now, those are the people. Those are the conditions to be present. What are the conditions when you do believe? In this section of Scripture, Jesus says, and I give them eternal life. And not only does he give them eternal life, I just love this section of Scripture. He says, in no way will they ever be cast out. And then he says, they will not be lost. And so they came, they saw, and they believed. They won't be cast out. They won't be lost. Jesus gives them eternal life. And then he says, on the last day, I will resurrect them. What a wonderful picture. What a wonderful picture. So, it's funny, I wrote this down. This is kind of like a movie. The movie has a premiere. So it's like the house of Israel, the Jews, were invited to what I'm going to call the redemption premiere. Because it's quite obvious, Scripture reveals to us that the redemption premiere, they were the first ones invited. They got to go to the showing first. And then after they received the showing, what does the movie do? Then it goes out into worldwide release. And it goes out to all the nations. I just thought, is that cool or what? Because that is exactly what is happening here. Jesus is telling these Jews, I'm the bread of life. Believe in me, and you won't be lost. You won't be snatched away. You'll have eternal life, and I'm going to raise you up on the last day. So that's why we're going to verse 41 now. Let's split this up. Anyone want to read 41 through 45, and then somebody can read 46 through 51. Okay, Meredith, you're doing 41 through 45? Yeah, John chapter 6. And Mary will do 46 through 51. Yeah, and then we could spend a lot of time here in John 6. We can keep reading that they're going, whoa, what is this dude? He tells he's going to drink his blood and eat his flesh. And, you know, he goes into the whole dissertation about that. But what I find amazing here is that he's talking to the house of Israel here. He's talking to Jews. And he just lays out, clears a bell, I'm it. It is the will of Jehovah that I came from heaven and that you are to come to me, you are to see me, you are to believe in me, and you will be part of the all. You'll have everlasting life. You will never be lost. You will never be snatched away, and I'm going to raise you up on the last day. I mean, how good of news is that? Look what their response was to that. And they murmured, who is this dude? Like, who are you? you're just the son of Joseph. As I read this, I just want all of us to be encouraged, because there are times that we share the gospel, we witness, and they murmur. Really? I mean, that's exactly what happens to a lot of us. You bring them Jesus, and they murmur. Like, who is this? But here's what I found interesting in verse 45. Jesus is saying, it is written in the prophet, and they shall be all taught of God. It is interesting because my Hebrew-Greek study Bible, Blue Letter Bible, my online Bible, when you check the cross-references for this, they show the Old Testament scriptures that, I guess I'm going to say, at least people think that Jesus is referencing, since he doesn't directly reference them. So, let's go to Isaiah chapter 2 to look at some of these. Some of these scriptures of the prophet. So on Isaiah 2, the study Bibles and all of the references usually just pull out the one verse that they say Jesus is referencing here, but we're going to read 1 through 5 here. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Let's start singing the song here. To the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his way. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So, I had to ask myself this question. If Jesus, referring to the writing of the prophet, is referencing Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3 here, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Is Jesus ignoring the other verses of this section? Is Jesus not referring to all of Isaiah chapter 2? Like verse 2, it says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. I had to ask my question. Here's Jesus saying this, what the prophets said way back here. So when Jesus is referencing the writings of the prophets, is that now? Or is Jesus talking about something that's way in the future? way in the future. Because what did he just say here in chapter or verse 45 of John 6? He's talking to these Jews. I mean, just think about the context here. He's talking to this group of Jews, and he goes, there's written the prophets. And he's saying that you should probably know this, because you've been taught this. And it says, and they shall be all taught of God. Okay. Oh, okay. That's a good point. I guess we'd have to look up, what is that, the conjunction, whether it's by or of. But let me ask you, in the context of the verse, what is being said here? Are you talking about in Isaiah, right? You're talking about here in 45? Okay, again, I didn't look up the Greek word for of and by. Okay. So yeah, we're definitely not done here. If we go back to Isaiah is saying basically there's a time. Because the last days is referencing to a period of time. There's a period of time where it says many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So that picture there is, the context is that something's going to happen where God himself is going to teach us, and then we're going to walk in his way. And my point is that Jesus, if we have an accurate cross-reference to the old scripture verses that he's referring to, that Jesus is referencing that all will be taught. Yeah, Pastor. Yeah, through the prophets. Does that help, Anita? Because the point that I feel like I was led to is that Jesus, and we're going to look at a few more, he goes, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. And look what the next verse says, or next, we'll call it 45b. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. So the point Jesus is making, he said he's the bread of life. He's telling these Jews, in 33 AD, he's telling these Jews what was written in the prophets about how all shall learn of God. And he's talking about Jehovah here. He's saying, if you heard it and have learned this information from the prophets, he says, you're coming to me. The point he's telling these people is that you should have been able to read these prophets and seen me. To see me. And there, and here he is standing in front of him, because later we'll see that he says that it's the will of the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. He's doing everything possible to get these murmurers to say, hello, Mitt, I'm everything the prophets ever talked about. I'm the bread of life. I'm here and I just offered you eternal life. You'll never be lost. You'll never be taken away. You'll be raised up on the last day. And they're murmuring. Yeah, it's talking about the elect. And if you remember from my previous Sunday schools, I've been trying to intermix this principle of election through our studies, particularly with the nation of Israel, because we've had the conversations before in the mess of rebellious sin Israel was always involved with. God always preserved a remnant. And that principle, as what Pastor Greg just brought up, is still in play here. Still in play. And it's quite obvious. We read 35 through 40, and verse 36 says, "But I have said unto you that you've also seen me and believe not." So it's kind of what you were saying is that, I mean, particularly in this context, I mean, he'd just come back from healing and doing miraculous things, and he sent his disciples out to do it, and then he feeds the 5,000. So the people have seen this stuff. And Jesus says, "You've seen all this stuff, and you believe not." Ben, did you have something? All right, let's go to Isaiah 54. And in Isaiah 54, verses 5 through 14, "For thy Maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the woman hath called thee, the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken, and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast wasted, saith thy God. For a moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempests, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not for me. For whosoever shall gather together shall thee be, can't really read here. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake." So, in the context of Jesus referencing that all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, What did we say the condition for that is? Is that when these Jews read those verses way back here, that Jesus is saying, "Don't you see me?" Because he's saying everybody who's been taught of those should come to me. Again, in light of what Pastor Greg said, quite obvious not all these Jews were going to come. And in fact, if we were to continue with all of chapter 6, after the blood and flesh thing, I mean, a whole bunch of these people walked away. And then Jesus asked his disciples, are you going to walk away too? But they said, "Where shall we go? Only thou hast the words of eternal life." Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. And in Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 31, we're going to start in 27. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. So another section of Scripture that is cross-referenced where the Lord says, I will teach them of me. So, as we've read those Scripture verses, and our context here is dispensational theology, people that hold to dispensational theology will say that all the Scripture verses that we read are yet to occur way out here. And the reason why they come to that conclusion is because it talks specifically. Just like we were in Jeremiah 23, it looks like it's specifically talking about a physical people, a physical land, with a physical temple, waiting for a physical king to redeem them, to free them, to have a kingdom. I mean, when we look at those verses, that's exactly what it kind of looks like. But I just find it interesting that here in John 6:45, Jesus is saying these verses written by the prophets are pointing to me. That's right here. I mean, that's the here and now. 2017, those verses still point to Jesus. Come to me. How about Matthew 11? We'll close with Matthew 11 here. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's like what Pastor Greg said. Knowing Reformed theology, we understand that God is sovereign in his choices. But Jesus still says, come. When you read here, and as we'll see in the next week or so, when we read here, before Jesus and after Jesus, when we read the scriptures, they all point to Christ to say, come to me. Come to me because I will give you eternal life. You will not be lost. You will not be taken away. And you'll be raised the last day. It's the same picture throughout Scripture. Come to me. Out of time. All right. So next time, we're going to get into Romans 16. I think we're going to leave John 6 now. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that through your Spirit,